T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Next story comes to us out of CNBC. It's all over the place today. And it's about who is going to stop advertising ice cream to kids over obesity concerns.
Yeah, Unilever is the parent company of a whole lot of food-related and non-food-related companies. But two of the main ones that, I guess three of the main ones that are involved in this are Breyers and Ben & Jerry's. And there's one other one that's a major, major ice cream, Dove. So they've got these three brands under their sort of corporate umbrella. And they said they're going to stop marketing ice cream to kids because of fears of obesity, that they don't want to contribute to that. So they're going to stop anytime you have an entertainment medium whose audience is 25% or more, 12-year-olds or under. They're going to pull all of their advertising for ice cream products from there. Klondike, by the way, is another one that's under the Unilever umbrella. So a significant portion of the ice cream public will not see those ads if they're aimed at shows, for example, TV shows, where there's a lot of kids watching.
Does anybody think it's going to make a difference? 22980 or 5767798. In a blog post, Unilever said the key reason for the new principles is the fact that the World Health Organization calls childhood obesity one of the most serious public health issues of the 21st century. And so the blog post says it is a move designed to help parents, caregivers, and kids make informed choices about the food and drinks they buy and to address the rise of social media and the vast increase in products on sale.
I don't think that's what this is.
I always say everything comes back to money.
Yep.
Tell me how this comes back to money.
Yeah, it's in fact, I think it's kind of the other way around in this case. This is one of those odd cases where whenever we talk about something and people go, what's next? You know, for example, yesterday when we were talking about the plastic bag bans and people say, what's next? Are they going to go after the plastic cups? Are they going to go after straws? Well, this, I think, is evidence that Unilever and several others, because there are other corporations that are mentioned in this article. General Mills is one of them. They make a lot of kids' cereals and things like that. Have already done this. And I think this is evidence that those companies know that what's next is this is the legislation that's on the horizon.
Uh-huh.
That they're going to do this before they're forced to do it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That they think coming up, Congress is going to go after marketing unhealthy stuff to kids. They already do. I mean, it started with Joe Camel. So if cigarettes are bad for kids and we take cigarette advertising away from kids, and vaping is bad for kids and we've taken vaping advertising away from kids, well, what else is bad for kids? Eating a lot of stuff with sodium and sugar and fat and all of that stuff. So is Congress perhaps looking at legislation that would do what Unilever is already doing?
It's an interesting point. Be the leader in it instead of being forced to by legislation.
Yep.
My question is, do you think it's going to work? Again, I'll come back to, do you think that, because my answer is going to be no.
Mine too, yeah.
Somebody tell me I'm wrong. I don't think that this kind of advertising is that powerful. When parents have the power there in terms of what kind of sugar their kids are exposed to or should have that kind of power, if it's not already in the house, I don't think a commercial for an ice cream bar is going to make a kid, you know, more obese. I think we need to talk about parents and advertising to the parents, not necessarily the kids as much.
Not to mention the fact that, I mean, a lot of kids who are that age, who are 12 years old and younger, when mom or dad goes to the supermarket, they go with them.
Right.
So it's one thing to see it advertised on a TV show. It's another thing to walk by the freezer cabinet and go, ooh, that looks good. You know, most of the even now as an adult, most of the purchases that I make that are ice cream and candy and stuff like that are total impulse buys. I walk by it and go, oh, yeah, that'd be good tonight. I'll grab one of those on the way.
Uh-huh. Let's see. The company said, again, it will only show kids under 12 in its marketing communications. This is where I'm going. Let's define some of this.
Mm-hmm.
If it's for products that meet high nutritional standards or if it's relevant to the marketing message, like a family activity. And then there were other companies that have already done this a little bit with rules around marketing food and beverages to kids. General Mills says it doesn't direct any marketing to children under 12 unless it meets strict nutrition standards. Other companies say they do the same thing. The Children's Food and Beverage Advertising Initiative, General Mills says, is what they follow. I don't know. How powerful do we all feel like advertising is when it comes to your kids? And kids don't see as many ads as they used to.
No.
You know, none of us do, quite frankly.
When Saturday morning cartoons were the thing that every kid did every Saturday morning, and that's long since passed, by the way.
Right.
But that's where you saw the advertising for all of the kids' cereals, all of the sugary stuff. That's where it all was because they knew we were watching. So was it effective then? Well, yeah, but we were blitzed with it. I mean, it wasn't just one company. It was every ad break. You'd see three or four more ads for Super Sugar Crisp and Honey Smacks and all of that. So, yeah, I mean, if you get that kind of carpet bombing, it's going to have an effect. It hasn't been like that in a long time, though.
Right. And what else should this apply to then? You know, if we're applying it to ice cream, then I'm not trying to go super dramatic off the deep end, but it's, there are things that have a lot more sugar in it, or just as much sugar than ice cream.
Yeah.
And so what else should this gets me into like sugar tax questions about, you know, what else should this apply to that's bad for kids?
Yeah. And we've seen that sort of, you know, if there already is an initiative out there, that means that, yeah, we were kind of right about this, that there is a legislation that's pending, or at least that's being kind of threatened.
Yeah.
You know, they'll hear from somebody and say, all right, there's this initiative to ask, quote unquote, companies to do this. There's a common myth that says that we at one point banned convertible automobiles. This right. applies. That never happened. There was never a ban on convertibles. What Congress did was they said, if you don't make them safer or come up with another way to do it, then we'll pass a law. So the auto industry just got out in front of it and made T-tops instead of convertibles for 15 years.
Right.
Same thing happened with movies. There is no legislation behind movie ratings. There never was.
Right.
They did that so that they could avoid having legislation passed, forcing them, you know, to keep 17-year-olds away from, or, you know, 16-year-olds away from R-rated movies.
Yeah.
So it works. At least as far as the companies are concerned. Does it work to make kids skinnier? That's where you kind of get a little dubious.
Right. So what do you guys think about this? Do you think it'll have an effect on kids' obesity rates to stop marketing to kids quite so much? Because we're telling, you know, vaping companies not to do it. Now, sugar's not illegal, you know, that, but neither is vaping right now,
yeah.
You know, for some people. But we went after Juul for not marketing to kids. We went after cigarettes for not marketing to kids. And so generally things that we think are bad for them, we're okay saying don't market that to kids.
And in that same respect with Camel cigarettes, I mentioned Joe Camel a little bit earlier. They went after Joe Camel like crazy in the early 90s and eventually forced them to get rid of the logo because it was a cartoon and it appealed to kids. So are we going to do the same thing with Sugar Bear, Toucan Sam, you know, the Trix Rabbit? Are they all going to be now not legislated, but sort of, given that treatment and just, you know, go up in smoke now because you're using cartoon characters to make sugary cereal attractive to kids.
Right. So what does everybody think? And how do we then, if not this, how do we can ask the bigger question of how you reduce the obesity rates with kids? Some people are saying, you know, kids need more recess and PE to encourage fitness. I would say parents could probably do the same thing in order to encourage fitness. I do think the example starts at home. You know, my parents ate garbage, and so did I as a kid. I grew up on fast food and didn't change those habits until my mid-30s. I mean, it's you really do repeat the behavior that you are taught as a kid. So we can take your texts and your calls on this, 22980 or 576-7798. Again, Unilever is going to talking about dropping their marketing of their ice cream products to children because kids are obese.
And when you consider that it is Breyers and Ben and Jerry's and Klondike, that's a significant portion of the ice cream market. Plenty going on around here as well. And we were talking a little bit earlier about Unilever making this decision to stop marketing ice cream to kids. And it's an interesting thing because they're doing it themselves. They're not doing it under any legislative. There may be a legislative threat, but there is no legislation that says you can't market ice cream to kids. They're just kind of trying to make the decision on their own. And your responses to this have been interesting. We were making the connection between this and, you know, the things that have been done with cigarette advertising over the years. And a lot of those aren't legislated either.
Right.
Now, obviously, you can't buy a pack of cigarettes if you're under the age of 21. Used to be 18. But, you know, the advertising going after 12 12, 13, 14-year-olds, that was a decision that the industry made under threat of legislation, the same way they may be doing this as well. But it does make you wonder, you know, is there any kind of push now to make unhealthy food illegal, at least until you reach a certain age?
Or should parents be deciding that?
Right.
You know, yeah. To what extent do you want to protect people from things that are bad for them? It's an interesting conversation because we've decided this about certain things already, right? We've already put a law in place for certain things where we say you can't have this for various reasons because it's not good for you. Alcohol, drugs, you know, there are certain things that we don't let you have. And there are certain things that we have decided, some states have decided to tax more because it is bad for you. Again, the sugar tax, which several big cities have already. How much do you want to just leave this to people to figure out on their own? And how much do you want to make illegal for them to have access to?
Yeah. And how much pressure is being applied? How much pressure is being applied instead of, you know, going actually through with the legislative process, just saying to the industry, hey, cool it a little bit with trying to sugar the kids up as much as we were sugared up when we were that age.
Right.
If you want to get in and do some talking about this, 5767798, gotten a bunch of great response already on the text line. And a lot of people going with the idea that was summed up by one text that says kids don't buy the food, the parents do.
That's what I started by saying. I don't know if limiting the marketing to kids is going to make them more or less obese.
Well, we've had that argument before, too, about clothing. You know, whenever somebody talks about, oh, these 12 and 13-year-old girls, look at what they're wearing. Well, they don't buy their own clothes either, you know. And somehow they convince mom and dad to buy that stuff. And is it anybody's business to get in the way and say, no, you shouldn't buy that for your daughter?
Right.
And it's, you know, the same with this. Should you get in a parent's way and say, stop buying so many cut gallons of ice cream for your kids.
Right.
And stop buying so much sugar cereal, you crazy person, you.
Yeah.
So we'll go to the phones on this. And John is in Kansas City, Kansas, wants to do a little talking about it. What's going on, John?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great.
Good. I work in digital marketing, and I have twins that are 11. And I think Unilever is doing this because, quite frankly, it'll just save them some money. Traditional forms of advertising, the television commercials and stuff, they just don't work the way they used to. It doesn't have a quantifiable reach. You know, my kids, we watch Disney Plus and everything. They don't have to watch commercials during some of the programming. And then the ones where they watch, like, the Disney Channel, they talk about other things. They talk to each other during the commercials or they get on their devices, and then they go back to the program when the program comes on. And, like, for ice cream, the best marketing tool is when I take them to the store. Hey, Dad, can we get some ice cream? Because we're walking by the ice cream aisle.
Yep. It's so, right there, top of mind.
And as far as the parenting, you know, as far as, you know, people saying the obesity thing, well, that's really up to the parents how much you let them consume. And, you know, because ice cream has been popular for, what, like 100 years now? So, you know, it's going to continue to be popular no matter how it's marketed. It's really up to the parents if the obesity rate, like you and Jamie were discussing, just the habits that you instill in your kids is going to deter, and then how much activity you, you know, make them have is going to really determine that. No amount of marketing will really affect that. If you, you know, if you allow them to have a lot of it, or you make sure that you limit it, that's the only thing that's going to affect it.
Yeah, and maybe at that point, advertising to the parents is a better use of the dollar. It's an excellent point. Excellent point, John. There's your money, Jamie.
Right.
That's how it gets back to the money, because if he's right about that, and I think he is, that the penetration for ice cream marketing to kids isn't what it used to be. So they're just cutting advertising dollars that aren't really making them, you know, that aren't making them any money on the back end.
And it's good PR to say that you're doing it.
It's good PR to say you're doing it. And you think about that cutoff age, too. They didn't say
about that too.
They didn't say 17-year-olds. They said 12-year-olds. You know, is 12, and you've got to believe that there was a marketing meeting that said 12 is really the age that if we start hitting them hard, then that's when we're really going to start to get some bang for our buck.
Right. Yeah. Just looking at some of the texts that we're getting, also, some of you were pointing out the cost of eating healthier and that it's more expensive sometimes to eat healthier.
Boy, preach. Absolutely.
Yeah, a salad at McDonald's. I wish I had a better example right now, but a salad at McDonald's. No, I'm going to use a better example. It is more expensive to go to Whole Foods and get some of the organic. If you believe that organic is healthier, it is definitely more expensive. Now, it's not always necessary either, you know, depending on like whether your fruit has the skin on it or not. You don't always need, you know, the organic version, but it can be more expensive to eat healthier than it is to eat garbage.
You can stuff yourself for $4 at a fast food joint. But you're going to stuff yourself with absolute trash,
right?
Deep fried trash. So we do because it's $4.
Right. Right. Whereas vegetables are more expensive. And now there are ways around that.
And less convenient.
Well, that's a different problem. I mean, convenience is your fault. Convenience is your problem. You know, if you think it's inconvenient, then there are ways to meal prep and stuff like that and make it more convenient.
Sure.
Farmers markets make it cheaper, but not everybody lives close to a farmer's market. That's part of the problem is some of those food desert issues. Because you can go to River Market, you know, go on a Saturday morning during the summer. I go every Saturday and you can grab the vegetables a lot cheaper.
Stock up for the week.
Right. You just have to go and get them. But that's, again, not convenient for everybody. And it's definitely more expensive sometimes to just go and grab McDonald's or just to grab the frozen pizza at the store instead of something that's better for you.
Somebody else on the text line said, stop blaming the industry. Aside from health reasons, hold the parents legally responsible. Childhood obesity is a child abuse. Make school year round. Keeps the kids active and gives them structure in their diet. First of all, we're not blaming the industry. You know,
no,
this is
the
industry.
Opposite.
This is the industry policing itself.
Yeah.
And we're not sitting here saying, oh, yeah, Unilever was making your kids fat up until now. But yeah, just the opposite. I think we're both on that side of saying, look, you know, what you learned at home and what you teach your kids at home is largely going to be responsible for what they look like.
Yeah. And some of you were saying, cook more at home, problem solved. I think that's easy to say, but when kids get busy, I think that's harder sometimes. And there are ways to get convenience foods that are healthy, but they're more expensive. You know, you can go pick them up at a grocery store, but they're going to cost you more than if you.
I wish there were more of them because you can get a burger anywhere in just about any block. You know, you can get a donut just about anywhere, just about any block. But the idea of being able to get prepared food that's decently healthy for you on any block, that isn't there.
Right.
That's, you know, if it's there at all, it's extremely rare in comparison. Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.